You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Colt Molesky, and I'm joined, as I am almost every Wednesday, by the editor, Tim Fakeless. Tim, how are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. We were talking yesterday and before the show. You were actually teaching children. I assume you were teaching them just the top-notch knowledge that they could have in life skills and lessons and such this morning. So however the listener is doing, they probably weren't molding the next class of Americans like Tim was. So congratulations to Tim for that.
Thanks. Yeah, that was my job before I started working in zone coverage, and I still sub at an elementary school, which will go unnamed every now and then, but I'm definitely not a licensed teacher, so let's not get that twisted. I'm no David Naylor.
Gosh, just the staff that we have at zone coverage and the amount of impact they have on the culture is astounding.
And then there's you.
And then there's me. I'm taking away from the culture, actually. But we won't rest on that too long. We don't want to for legal purposes. We're going to move on to the Timberwolves. They had the big win against the Cavaliers, talking about that on the show earlier in the week. Now moving forward, they have a game tonight against the Thunder, which we will talk about. But over the next couple weeks here, the team plays, they have tonight the Thunder, Friday Knicks, Trailblazers after that, and then Magic, Rockets, and Raptors. Other than the Magic, which even they can prove to be somewhat of a frisky team, but other than them, it's a pretty impressive stretch of games here. I would say that it's fairly important, and then if you look at the rest of the month, even going further out, Clippers is an easier game, but then you have the Trailblazers again, Warriors, Nets, Hawks, and you finish out with the Raptors. Pretty tough stretch of games here. I think we find out the most about this team this January than we have probably at any other time so far this season, and I think it's a real way for the Timberwolves to kind of put their stamp on the NBA as far as showing people how much they've grown and how far they've come even just this season. What do you think of this stretch of games, and do you think that there's something to prove here for the Timberwolves, a way to really show the NBA what they're made of?
Yeah, I think so. I wrote about this, actually, this very topic last Friday in January, or at least to the point where I wrote it. I wrote it on January 5th, so there was a game or two that was in there. But from January 5th on, they play 15 games. Of those 15, 10 are against teams with winning records, and of those 10, 7 of them are top 5 teams in either conference. So it's the cream of the crop that they're really going up against to this point. Or rather, to that point, they hadn't played Cleveland. They hadn't, and still haven't played Houston. They've only played Golden State once. They've only played San Antonio a couple times. They had played Toronto. They had not played Boston to that point. So they were very unproven against the best of the best. The good news is the Wolves are doing a good job of beating the teams that are supposed to be sort of like in their class, basically, in the Western Conference. Your Oklahoma Cities, your Denvers, your Portlands. But this is the first stretch where they're playing almost exclusively good talent. They've had their downsides. They lost to Boston. They had that pretty brutal Brooklyn loss. But then, as you mentioned, the Cleveland win and the New Orleans win. New Orleans isn't anyone to scoff at. They're a playoff caliber team. They killed them. So, yeah, I agree with you. This next couple weeks is interesting. I don't necessarily agree that Orlando is as pesky as you seem to think they are. I think they're terrible, but that's all right.
They're the only other team other than the Timberwolves to put 127 on the Cavaliers. So I know the Cavaliers' defense is atrocious, but they do have scores on the team. So that one can be interesting if they have enough guys who are feeling their shot on a given night. And Eric Gordon is really fun to watch, too, against Towns and Taj.
Yeah, to say they have scores is putting it kindly, but Aaron Gordon is good.
I'm just trying to juice up the schedule as much as possible. Next week, I have got a take on the Hawks that makes them look like a really good opponent for the Timberwolves to beat.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
But I think, too, when I'm thinking about these games and what they can prove headed forward here, you had on Wolves Wired, actually, Kevin O'Connor, the basketball writer for The Ringer, really good writer, really great articles that he's putting out all the time on The Ringer. Do you feel like as the Timberwolves are proving themselves against the Cavaliers, if they can have a solid game against the Rockets, win at least one of these games against the Raptors and the Trailblazers, do you feel kind of the narrative of early on in the season, it was kind of young team, don't know what they're made of, a lot of minutes from the head coach, a lot of minutes for the starters, and then kind of the gifts of Towns messing up on defense. Do you feel like that national narrative is shaking off a little bit into this team is really growing into a playoff threat and Jimmy Butler is at the helm of that?
Yeah, well, I would say, okay, that was a lot. So I'll start by saying, yes, I think they can beat teams like Houston and Golden State. In fact, I think they're a good enough team, but they can beat anybody in the league. And, like, for example, on Twitter, people have sort of brought up the fact that the Wolves have had some bad losses. You know, you lost to Phoenix a couple times, you lost to Brooklyn, et cetera. I don't think people are aware that every other good team in the NBA has bad losses, and I kind of listed it out a while back. People should not be worried about the bad losses, because teams like Houston, Golden State, are under the same umbrella. But to answer your second question, is Jimmy Butler at the helm of it? Yes, he's their best player. He's the most impactful player. But I think they've sort of made a leap to I don't want to call them an elite team, because I think that's kind of designated for Golden State and maybe Houston and Boston. But they are definitely good enough to beat any team in the league. And I think Karl Anthony Towns is actually the key to this. Their defensive rating is up to 19th in the league, and it seems like their defensive rating is creeping up the ranks. The better that Towns gets defensively, the Wolves haven't given up 100 or more points in, I think, the last 7 games now. And it's come at a time when Towns is playing the best defense of his career, and I don't think that's a coincidence.
And to your point on the losses to a team like Phoenix, when you're playing 82 games in a season, I think there's more to glean off of a good loss or a good win against like the Cavaliers than a loss against Phoenix. Maybe if you lose 3 times to Phoenix, then maybe it starts to be a problem. But one loss to Phoenix, I think there's less to learn from that than to a win to the team like the Cavaliers, or if you beat a team like the Raptors or the Rockets. There's more to learn from a team in those than in a bad loss. And so it's easy to see those headlines get painted in kind of a slate against the Timberwolves when you have a loss against Phoenix. But really, in 82 games, you're going to lose to some teams that are really, really bad, and that's just because the schedule is a marathon and not a sprint. And so I think people highlight, especially the Phoenix loss, I feel like people highlight the Phoenix loss a lot, even though that's a ways away and this team is a totally different team than when they played them a couple months ago.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, like, again, I tweeted out about it. The Warriors, I'm just going to read this off quick. The Warriors have losses to Memphis, Sacramento, and Charlotte. The Rockets have 2 losses to Memphis, a loss to the Lakers, and a loss to the Clippers mid-Blake Griffin injury when the Clippers were at their worst. The Celtics have losses to Chicago, New York, and Utah. The Cavs have losses to Orlando, Brooklyn, New York, and Sacramento. The Wolves aren't alone. Every team has a quote-unquote bad loss. The Wolves shouldn't be worried about it, and neither should the fans. It happens.
Switching over to kind of more a little bit in depth on their offense particularly, the Timberwolves have looked really good, especially against the Cavaliers, just because, and Towns really looked amazing in the Pelicans game, taking on Davis and Cousins, but Wiggins you kind of highlight against the Cavaliers just because he's been in such a big slump over a month now, and so it was really good to see him in rhythm. Is this maybe the turning of a corner? I think Towns turned the corner a while, like 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. But could this potentially be the turning of a corner for Wiggins? Maybe he's had some solid games in January, and now he had a really great performance against the Cavaliers. And is this what he needed to jumpstart him, his shooting back into what we thought it could be against? And now he has a really impressive streak of games that he can prove himself that this isn't just a fluke. Is this the turning of a corner for Wiggins?
Tom Thibodeau seems to think it is. He was super complimentary of him after the win over the Cavs. for he's got to figure out how to do this against teams that aren't the Cavaliers at some point in his career. But in the meantime, he's really killing it against the Cavs. And the thing that I think is most important for him that Thibodeau talked about, he is learning how to make, I'm going to quote Tibbs here, winning plays or doing little things, being active defensively, driving with the ball and kicking it out to the right man, swinging passes, just cutting, just every little thing that Wiggins was known for not doing before, he seems to be doing it over this last stretch of games. The key is for him is going to be to do it for an entire season or at least a long stretch. He's done it in spurts his entire career. So I'm not sold that he's turned a corner, but he is looking really good right now. But, yeah, over this last stretch of games, I just looked it up. Since Christmas Day, the Wolves have the third best offensive rating in the NBA. They have the fifth best defensive rating in the NBA. That is good for, and it surprises me, the only second best net rating in the NBA. The first best, the Philadelphia 76ers, weirdly enough.
It's that Embiid bump.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break before we continue to discuss the Timberwolves, their upcoming schedule, and tonight's game. But first, fantasy sports fans, listen up. Did you know that your chances of winning on Draft are 80% better than on a salary cap site? That's why Draft is my favorite fantasy site. No more getting crushed by the pros. And it's not just me. More than 1 million people have already downloaded Draft. Playing real live NBA draft right now. Be done in under 5 minutes and get paid out the very next day. Drafts are filling every second, so you can join whenever you want. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make a first time deposit, but you have to use my promo code LOTWOLVES. That's right, playing a real money draft for free just by using my promo code LOTWOLVES. But it gets even better. Draft is so sure you'll love it that they're even offering my listeners on the Locked On Wolves podcast a money-back guarantee of up to $100. It's up to $100 free cash back you can get. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and play free tonight. Use the promo code LOTWOLVES. And I've opened up lobbies already. You can join some draft lobbies. They're Locked On Wolves or Locked On T-Wolves draft lobbies, excuse me. If you use the promo code LOTWOLVES, you can come and take my money tonight away from me without even having to spend any of yours. And go ahead and follow me on the draft site too at Locked On Wolves is my profile on the draft app, so you can see automatically whenever I'm opening up another lobby to play against fans. Join draft today. Now you have the Thunder, Tim. You have the Thunder tonight. The Thunder have looked a little battered the last couple games. They took a loss to Portland without Damian Lillard the other night, and they also lost to Phoenix. Now again, we're not going to blow up losses here to down teams, but they are on a bit of a skid. This seems like one of the games where now they've been on a skid and they're really going to get up for this game against the Timberwolves. So this has the makings of a really fun back and forth game tonight with the Timberwolves hosting the Thunder. What should the excitement level be for Timberwolves fans, and what's the intensity level going to be in this game?
I mean, I'm never going to think that just because the Thunder are on a skid that they're not going to come and bring it, even on the latter end of a back-to-back, which is what this is for them. It's just Westbrook is that good. But
no, exactly. I'm saying that they're going to really bring it in this one because I think they're going to want to end their skid specifically against the Timberwolves.
No, that I'm agreeing with you.
Excellent.
We can agree that sometimes.
That doesn't happen very much, so I'm not used to it.
I can tell it. It took you by so much by surprise. That you're like, wait, no, if you're going to disagree with me, this is what you said. No, I agree. Just the way that Russell Westbrook plays, I don't think back-to-backs impact him. I don't think losses impact him negatively. The fact that they've lost two games in a row, one of which to the Phoenix Suns, the Thunder, I expect a pretty intense game. In fact, if I had to pick, I just have a feeling that with the Wolves flying as high as they are after a big win against a team that was in the finals the last 3 years, against a team that is probably hungry for a win, searching for a win, and wants, you know, even more revenge than they already have with their most recent win against the Wolves. I think this is just kind of the perfect storm for the Thunder to come in and win.
I was talking who was it? Dane, I believe it was, yesterday.
Now, what's his name?
Dane Moore, about Tyus Jones against Westbrook and how Tyus has played really well. Oh boy, Tyus has played really well, but Westbrook is kind of built to defeat a technically really good point guard, especially on defense like Tyus, just with his pure speed and with how he attacks the rim. Is that kind of one of the biggest mismatches in this one, is just any point guard that the Timberwolves can throw at Russell Westbrook?
Yes, and it should be mentioned that Teague might play tonight against the Thunder. We'll see about that. It's going to be a game-time decision, I think. But regardless, Russell Westbrook feasts on point guards of Tyus Jones' size. Tyus Jones is a good defensive player, and he's a good man-to-man defender, but a guy like Westbrook is the type that I think could really just have a day against him. He's the point guard version of LeBron, essentially, in terms of his power. And when he's going at the basket, if you're a point guard, it doesn't matter how sound you are defensively. He's just impossible to stop. And if you try to stop him, you're probably just going to foul him. And he's strong enough where that'll usually result in an and-one. Teague's a little bit bigger than Tyus, but it's kind of the same concept regardless. And if Teague plays, he's coming off an injury. I don't know. Westbrook's going to have a big game because he's Russell Westbrook.
I guess this just means we're gonna have to trot out Aaron Brooks to save the Timberwolves tonight.
Man, dude, it's not even noon yet. Let's not start drinking.
Hey, you know what? We can like the underdog players.
I can tell you've been talking to Dane more because you're talking up Aaron Brooks.
Oh my gosh, I love Aaron Brooks so much more after LeBron had that block, and then Aaron Brooks was the one who wanted to get in LeBron's face. Are you kidding me? That would be
that was great.
Oh my gosh, what a
That's
teammate!
A good teammate, yeah.
I think one of the things, it's a little maybe off the beaten path when everybody's looking at Butler and you got Russell Westbrook and Paul George and Carmelo Anthony. I'm really excited to see, after Towns' performance against Davis and Cousins, I'm really excited to see him play against Steven Adams. I think that's a matchup, the way he's been playing on the glass, I think that's one that he can actually win this time around. And I think he can show up Adams a little bit, and that might be an area where they have an edge. I don't know if Adams is going to be ready the way for the way Towns plays now versus the way he used to play in the first few matchups. He has already become more aggressive on the glass, and I think it could be one of those under-the-radar areas where the Timberwolves actually have an edge on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Like you said, I think they're going to really be hungry for a win, but that is an edge for me.
Yeah, it's going to be the ultimate test for him. I'll put it that way. Towns has been killed by Steven Adams his entire career.
Wait. So you're saying going against Davis and Cousins and winning that wasn't the ultimate challenge. Adams is the ultimate challenge.
No, I don't. I honestly think that Steven Adams is a bigger test because of the way that they run their offense.
All right.
Steven Adams is the ultimate pick and roll type player. Like, obviously, Boogie and Davis are better basketball players. I'm not disputing that. The way that Westbrook and Adams play off each other has been a total exploitation of Towns since his rookie year. And they've taken advantage of it every game. If you look at Steven Adams' stat line against the Wolves since Towns joined the league and Adams became a prominent member of the Thunder, he's always been really good against them. So I want to see how he defends that pick and roll that they tend to run. I want to see how he defends Adams because he's never defended him well. And it's a testament to Adams and his basketball IQ. But as you said, Towns has become a better defensive player over this last stretch of weeks. It's going to be a great test.
Well, and too, I like that he really doesn't seem to shy away from the physicality. Like, you really saw it in, I think it was glaringly obvious in that opening game against the Spurs when LaMarcus Aldridge was really pushing and shoving and lowering the shoulder a little bit into him. He doesn't play that way, and so this is going to be fun because I think Adams is going to go out and right away try and get under his grill a little bit with that kind of play, and I don't think Towns is going to back down from it, which means that this is going to be one of the back-and-forth matchups of the entire night that's just going to be riveting to watch. I'm going to really enjoy it.
Yeah, no, it should be a good matchup. Again, I think it's going to be a huge test, and I have a feeling he's going to pass.
Do the Timberwolves face good Melo or bad Melo tonight, do you think?
You never know.
This is just the 50-50 question of the year, I think.
The way the Wolves have played defense over the last few weeks, they've been closing out on shooters like Melo very well. I'm interested to see how much Bielitsa plays out there, because Melo has gotten the overwhelming majority of his points in like the 8 minutes the Bielitsa guards from every game. So we're gonna see.
And he does that thing too, where he kind of trails behind Westbrook in the offense, and Westbrook drives in, just leaves this huge hole that he passes back to Melo, because I think Melo just can't catch up with Westbrook, and so he's naturally trailing it just as a result of that. And
it's the exact same thing Rubio and Kevin Love used to do back mm-hmm. in the day.
Yeah, hopefully they can keep him from getting hot, because while Melo hasn't been overly impressive this year, he has had some games where once he starts hitting from outside, he can go on a little bit of a run that would be a problematic thing to have the Thunder in their back pocket if they can get him going. So hopefully they can close out. The last kind of superstar on that roster, Paul George, what do we expect from him? He's had some really good games against the Timberwolves. He had some bad games. What can we kind of expect from him, and is this going to be a quiet performance from him? Are they going to leave it all up to Westbrook, or is he going to be a real key factor in this one?
Was that Paul George? Sorry.
Yeah.
No, I think Paul George could have a great game. I think he's started to figure out his role. I mean, he started off really slowly, not in the same way Jimmy Butler did. I think he struggled more than Butler did, but I love Paul George on this team. I've always contended that he was going to figure it out, because in Indiana he was more of a catch-and-shoot guy and a spot-up guy than people gave him credit for. I think he could have a huge game. It depends on how Wiggins plays in this case, because I don't know how they're going to match up necessarily. But the Thunder are just the ultimate team that the Wolves are going to struggle to match up with, which is why I'm really interested to see if these two match up in the playoffs. The guys like Paul George and Melo would make it so tricky. It's so hard to decide who to throw onto who. It's Tyus guards Russell Westbrook. I guess he got Butler on George. But maybe with Teague out and they don't want the size mismatch and they throw Tyus on Andre Roberson, I don't know what they're going to do. It all depends on matchups. But regardless, I think Paul George could exploit it.
Do you need to have someone guard Roberson on offense?
Not if it's a three or a free throw.
Fair enough. We're going to go to a break quick, and then we'll be right back with Tim's segment of Editor's Choice. Before we get to everyone's favorite segment that you have, Tim, I actually have been thinking about this a lot, because I know you hate when I ask you to pick a winner or pick a score. So,
well, I kind of just did I?
You
I
did.
Said I think the Thunder have a good shot of winning this one.
You did a little bit, but I'm not going to do that to you. I'm gonna phrase this a little, I think, to your liking, a little better to your liking. What is one thing that a fan can spot in the first half of this game that the Timberwolves are doing to lead them to believe they have a shot at victory? So what's one like antidote, like whether it's Butler, he has 15 points already, or Wiggins is shooting well from outside, what's one thing that the Timberwolves will be doing that should lead a Timberwolves fan to believe they've got a shot at victory?
Score more points than the other team isn't a good answer.
Oh, gosh, you would say that too, wouldn't you?
If Wiggins is off to a good start, that is a good sign to me that the Wolves are going to do well, because I'm at the point now where I think you know what you're going to get from Towns, which is a good thing, because you didn't for the first several weeks of the season. You know what you're going to get from Butler. If Wiggins is on point, this team is very hard to beat. That's what I would go to.
All right, I like it. So look out for Wiggins to have a big night. If he's not, just maybe rub that lucky hat or whatever you have to do, Timberwolves fans, to get the Wolves back on track against the Thunder. Tonight's game, again, the Timberwolves host the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now we're on to Tim's Editor's Choice. He picks the top stories that you should be reading for the Timberwolves and for around the NBA. Educate yourselves about basketball. Tim, what do you got for us?
All right. Well, I'll start with the Timberwolves, and it's actually something that I am going to write about in a little bit more specific detail for what's today, Wednesday for Friday. Paul Flannery at SB Nation wrote about Karl Anthony Towns, the title. Karl Anthony Towns is already good and is still getting better. I'll be frank, I haven't read it yet, but I love Paul Flannery. It's about the Timberwolves, and I'm sure it's something I'm going to get into in just a minute, but the main points are basically he's already a 2010 guy, his defense is starting to show up, and his shooting range is incredible. Just pretty much a bunch of stuff we already know, but I can tell he goes into detail. There's some video in here. Paul Flannery is always worth reading. So check that out at SBNation.com. The national piece, we are approaching the trade deadline, and Rohan Nadkarni from Sports Illustrated wrote a few under-the-radar trade targets. No superstars on this list, but some role players that might be available at the deadline that might make sense for teams. The Wolves are a team that, you know, might be players at the deadline. They got Oklahoma City's pick, and they're going to be competing for that third, fourth spot in the West. So I think it's worth seeing. I think there are some names that you'll recognize either because they're former Wolves or they might just kind of make sense on the Wolves in general. Dane Moore wrote something about that at Zone Coverage back in the day. The first player mentioned, I think, is Dane's favorite target. So check that out, sportsillustrated.com.
I like it. And two, if you haven't read it, Kevin O'Connor's piece on Jimmy Butler was really nice as well. I like that.
Yeah, no, it was great. That's why we had him on Wolves Wired. Kevin is... he's a good dude. Dane and I had been DMing him for the entire season trying to get him on because, I mean, he's written about the Wolves a few times, and come on.
And he's super smart, Kevin O'Connor, understanding basketball. Yeah, great stuff. So definitely, once you're done listening to this podcast, go read those and go listen to the Wolves Wired with Kevin O'Connor joining the guys on Wolves Wired talking some Timberwolves basketball.
I just didn't want to overdo the plugging for Kevin O'Connor. That's why I didn't pick him, because I already plugged him on Wolves Wired. But yeah,
no, that's fair.
It's a good article.
I had to bring it up though, just because it's really fun seeing some really positive articles about the Timberwolves and about Jimmy Butler. I'm pushing for him to be an MVP candidate, so I'm pushing all these Jimmy Butler articles to the forefront of everybody's attention.
I mean, we can talk about that for just a half second. I know you got to bounce, but I agree with what Kevin is saying about just perception. And him being in Minnesota, in reality, he should be probably in the top three-ish in the MVP conversation. He probably won't, in part because he plays in Minnesota and he's not as big of a household name right now, just in terms of media coverage, as a guy like even Giannis Antetokounmpo, who plays in a small market like Milwaukee, but had such a hot start to the season and is such a unicorn-type player that I bet he gets more votes. Just stuff like that. We'll see. I just want to see them get into the All-Star game first. And I'm counting Towns in that, by the way.
Since we went down this rabbit hole, my four MVP candidates, LeBron James, Giannis, Antetokounmpo, Jimmy Butler, and Kyrie Irving. Is that too many? Do you have like three, or is that right about where it should be?
Those are good. I'm not sure. Man, Kyrie is such a fringe guy for me. I do want to mention James Harden in there as well. I mean, he's always like second or third every year, but he deserves it. And when the Rockets are healthy, he's their best player, and they're terrifying. They look like they can compete with the Warriors when they're healthy, but they're never healthy. So
he does, and the only reason,
for the most part, I agree.
Well, he does, and the only reason I left him off is it feels like it's such a tight race this year. I think the month or so that he's absent really hurts him more than anything else, just because I think the race is going to end up being so tight that those extra games do kind of get held against him in the end.
Yeah, no, it's going to be tough. But again, let's see him and Karl Anthony Towns get to the All-Star game. That's more what I'm more thinking immediate. I don't know. I'm a big All-Star game guy. I think it's a good indicator for where you're perceived in the league. So, I'd like to see it.
I think that
I think Towns deserves it after the last few weeks.
100%. 100% he does. And I think the All-Star game is really important around the NBA, more so than maybe in any of the other sports. So I would agree with that as well. But Towns should definitely be – Towns and Butler should be All-Stars, no question.
Oh, yeah. I think Butler is a given. I think Towns is going to be – it's going to be tougher for him to get in. But I'd love to see them both get in.
Absolutely. Well, we are out of time, so we are going to head out here. Thanks, Tim, for jumping on another Wednesday again and for giving us some things to read throughout the rest of the week. This has been another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.